Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
Quantum Mechanical Guide to the Periodic Table. So when you see the periodic table, a quantum physicist sees so much more in it. And the truth is that I've got to fill up a short little podcast on the way back home from a feed shop. But also I was at an RSL stall at the Glenbrook Fair, had a chat to a few young people, and I said, oh, they loved science and all this type of stuff. And then I began to tell them, I said, oh, do you know that a neutron, if I put a neutron in your hand, it would fall straight through it because it could travel through. And they had no idea. And you realise that people are sold a version of the periodic table, a version of physics, which is just very comfortable for the people sitting in the tea room, the dumb people sitting in the tea room at school to teach. And you realise, my godfather. And so for them, the periodic table is this huge mass of, it's like a floor mat, it's a picture, it's a chart, it's big, it's huge, and there's sort of no structure to it. And so one of the things is, I thought I'd do a little talk on some of the structures inside the periodic table. The first structure of the periodic table is, I suppose that it's in blocks, S, P, D, F block. S is 2, P is 3, D is 5. Let me wait. It's 1, 3, 5, 7. Yeah, but all times 2. Now, it's times 2 because of this thing called spin. And spin means that there are two universes on top of each other and they can slide through each other. And so as you're building up, as you're making something, when you add in a block, the second block just goes in to fill the second universe full. So the periodic table's got this immediate you know, slap you in the face. It's twinned. So there's 2, 6, 10, 14, because they're twinned and split a bit, spin up, spin down. And so this is the first thing that shits you at the periodic table, is that it's bulked out by a factor of 2. Someone has sprinkled spin symmetry on it, and you have spin up and spin down. Oh, Christ. I hate this. Going up to 60, but this car's barrel down this place. Okay, so you've got to spin up, spin down. And so the periodic table is spin up, spin down. Now, the thing is that if it's got even spin, balanced spin, an even number of particles, so spin up, spin down, in its protons, it's more stable. There's more of it. And sure, in case, the periodic table in terms of abundance has this beautiful corrugation running right through it, and so odd atomic number elements are rarer than even atomic number elements. Good God, how come my teacher didn't tell me that? Well, your teacher is just full of it. You know, what more can I say? And it is true, and you see nothing more this ripple sticks out when there's all else is equal, and you look down on the periodic table. Oh shit, someone's giving me a message, and I'm going to have to drop in at Blaxland anyway. Holy crap, I just come across looking at this. Okay, so you look at the rare earth, and they're up and down like a sawtooth, like a saw. The periodic table has a saw in it. So, you know, this entire thing is firstly your blocks. It's the blocks are then doubled. The blocks have got a step sequence. And the blocks are nested within each other because they of this, it's called Hund's rule. Hund's rule is for a way with someone who's no quantum physics understanding whatsoever can actually come out with it. And so it's like the periodic table obeys the laws of quantum mechanics, and people instead believe that the periodic table they teach the kids, it obeys the laws of very smart people who understand quantum mechanics. But yeah, that's about it. Kids, well, I can just tell you the quantum mechanics is just simply there. Then the periodic table's got this beautiful sort of artistic sprinkling of abundance of elements. First is from the universe, creation of the Big Bang itself. That's a big half the mass of the universe is helium. Over half is helium, but we hooked off the helium, the hydrogen hooks to helium, and that's one thing. And then you've got the production in stars of the very base part of the periodic table, and then you've got the production of stars, the eating up of matter. It's like deuterium gets eaten up by stars. There's certain things that stars produce, certain stars, things that stars eat up. Then you have sort of heavier stars, then you've got slow incubation. Once you start getting mass and you just keep on pouring neutrons into it, so essentially a star makes neutrons, and so a star pushes electrons back into protons, makes neutrons, and the neutrons then make the heavier elements to allow it to go through. So it's a process. Thank goodness it's not a quick process, or we all be off in a fluff. Thanks goodness for, let's celebrate the inefficiency by actually being alive. Your life is a testament to the inefficiency of stars. Basically, I hate to tell you this. Oh, crap. I'm just going to look at whether this is the best way to go. So this is interesting. So you've got a slow neutron process, fast neutron process. So a slow neutron process happens in a star over millions, billions of years. As the star really picks up, it goes into a fast neutron process, fills up the periodic table one way. Then you've got supernova filling up the periodic table, you go deeper. But the deeper, it's sort of like there's stains. It's sort of like a series of stains down the periodic table. So the first one's just the little wine glass falling over. The next one is a whole super spaghetti falling over. And then an entire roast falling on the floor. See, the problem is that it's sort of like this fun parlor where you pour in elements at one end and they just trickle down, and so you've got the end of a decay sequence of a lot of elements at the end of the decay sequence of building up. And so the slow neutron sequence fills the periodic table at certain points, whereas the fast neutron sequence fills at another point. So some elements are only fast, only existent due to fast neutron sequence. And we're talking significant elements. And then some are really fast neutron things, whether you've got a bucket load of neutrons. And you can't ask for more neutrons. So a neutron is just a proton plus an electron, but it's actually popped through another dimension of quantum space. So the electron has had its neutrino ripped out of it, and so it's look at the way it works, mate. Coming up around here. Okay, so let's come across. So you see all these patterns of elements coming across, but there's more. And fortunately, I'll be able to go into the shopping centre. I think we've got to buy milk, because I am an absolute ferocious milk drinker. So this universe has got milk drinkers in it, and it's got me, and I'm perhaps the biggest milk drinker in the entire universe. Go and take that. But look, what I'm saying about quantum mechanics is true. I'll keep on going after a while. Now, bought the stuff out to buy at the shopping centre to come home. As mentioned, we drink a huge amount of milk, and my son's home, so we're buying a few pastries from the takeaway. Not the takeaway, from the bakery shop. Normally a special treat to come across. And we're talking about the quantum mechanics you see in the periodic table. Sort of like if you have got a speciality, you see things differently. So if you're a horticulturalist, you'll look at a plant shop differently from someone who's just living in a flat, has never been there before. So what's the critical stuff? I said is the shape and form and filling and and abundance of the periodic table tells the story of all history and quantum mechanics is told together. However, there is this thing and the fact that teachers tell you something which they like, they understand, because they understand very, very little. One of the things, so they'll herd you into a classroom and tell you that if an atom has a positive charge of, say, 13, the total number of electrons it's happy with is 13. Particularly if true, let's say talk about 17 is the worst case, which is chlorine. Now, the bottom line is that majority of atoms are happier and can take in more electrons than neutrons. One or even two more electrons than neutrons, it is happier. And this is sort of crazy because we're always used to a package having less stuff in it than it should. We're always used to buying something from the supermarket, opening it up, and blood oath, it's 90% empty. Well, the atoms are super, super full, and they're actually extra full. You get a bonus electron in most atoms, and this creates a bit of a conundrum because electrons are rather hungry. It's almost like electrons are the finger food of nucleuses, and they're at this convention, and what they do is they sort of socialize so they can rob. The more hungry atoms can rob electrons from the other ones. So this fact that the universe is... this quantum mechanics gives you this thing called electron affinity. And electron affinity is the entire reason atoms bother with one another. That this is in order to actually rob electrons and actually get electrons falling in closer to the nucleus. Oh, there's a lovely little Model T here. Well, it's interesting to see this Model T, how high up it is to come across. Come on, you bastard. No, I'm just waiting for here. Hopefully we'll get around here. Okay, we're coming out here. Model T, what are you... This is always a shit storm coming out here, mate. Oh, Christ. Oh, come on. So what happens is there's people turning left. This is Australia. Okay. Oh, look. There's a bit of shit happening on the roadways. What? Just thanks. Thank you. Bastard. Okay. Coming across. So you've got this thing called electron affinity, and you only find out about electron affinity if you do quantum mechanics. If you do school chemistry, you just get fed piles and piles of just laws and rubbish. It's all solved with electron affinity, and the bottom line is that if you ask, "Oh, periodic table, tell me your electron affinity," you see that the noble gases have zero, the elements one in from the noble gases have the greatest, and you can see this. You instantly see this. I'm going, hang on, it's as though that each block is wearing its own printed T-shirt of electron affinity, and each block wears its own printed T-shirt of magnetic effects, and so your magnetism really comes up around the iron cobalt, but it also comes up around the same section of the rare earths for the same reasons, and like it's all limited. And so this is the other aspects, is that you, in order to get it, you just can't say, oh, it's the aspect of it. You really need to believe in quantum mechanics and believe in electron affinity and see it. And the bottom line is you can't see electron affinity, you can't get electron affinity if you want to deal with sort of like, I don't know, US currency. You know, it's all hard currency, this classical, but the quantum wave function is sort of like a cryptocurrency. They sort of can exist on top of each other and stuff like that. And so come on, sorry. These poor bastards. I'd see these people, old people, cycling, and they are just, you put me to shame. I think I'm doing well, but you got all these old people just powering through. I don't know what's going on, what the story is. To what the pool up here is absolutely chock-a-block. So it's one of these hot days up here in Australia. Just give you the outside temperature, mate. Outside temperature is 23 degrees. So that's going on nice. It's a bit of cloud cover, not too much wind, not too much fire danger. Yesterday we had 3 deaths, 100 properties destroyed. Australia from space had this big scar of bushfire coming across. You know, that's the only cloud cover there. So yesterday was sort of a bit of a nightmare day, and of course you can see all the fire hoses are out to dry. Sort of today, everyone's kicking up their heels a bit around here. They're only kicking up the heels because it's going to be such a murderous season ahead. So there's this thing of resting in fireys. It's a bloody awful place. Okay, but the bottom line, what I wanted to say, I got diverted there about bushfires in my world. You have been fed a world. You have been trained to about chemistry, and the reason you've been trained in that particular way is to make your chemistry teacher feel good about themselves. It's just a huge ego trip, an ego trip which avoids the quantum reality of electron affinity, electrons sliding through each other, and the periodic table decorated, lit up like a Christmas tree with features which speak of the quantum world, the spins, electron affinity, the folding patterns of 1, 3, 5, and 7 to go through. I sort of rather like that the first in this number system I'm thinking of, the first two prime numbers are 1 and 3. Because 2 is definitely not a prime. In fact, 2 is so useless, it's worthwhile getting rid of all the all even numbers, so our first two numbers, prime numbers, can be 1 and 3. You'd have to do some maths to see any humour in that. But, look, I hope that's got you there. Bye for now. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.